Thank you very much. I'm actually Esther Komu Achira, the Director General for Gender Equity and Inclusive Education. I'm so glad to be today here because of tomorrow's day. And as the presenter have put it rightly, this day was declared on 7th July 2004. After the Dakar Summit, which talked about girls' education all over the world. So girls' education denial is a global issue. And as we have heard that our late hero, Dr. John Garang, said we should keep the candle of the girls burning. Are we doing it? And that's why we are commemorating the day. And it's true that we have the theme of tomorrow as create safe and enabling learning environment for girls. And we are looking at that to see how we can create a safe and enabling environment for girls. This is because most of the time our girls drop out, our girls are kidnapped on their way to school, and our girls are raped. A lot of things happen on the way to school and back home, and even in schools. So that's why we have come up with this theme, for us to enable these girls to go to school and remain in school. And one of the enabling factor is what our dear partner is doing, the Girls Education South Sudan. They are doing this in order to enable the girls to be enrolled in school, remain in school, and complete their education for this. So I guess South Sudan is doing a great work to support this. And the question I ask is, what are we doing as a country to enable the girl remain in school, complete her education so as to come and join the development and transformation of this nation. Thank you.
Right, and this brings me to you, Akuja Digorang. Let's talk about the importance of this day and also take a look at it from the perspective of guests.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Akile. Yes, absolutely. As Madame Esther mentioned, kind of the history of this important day, we annually commemorate this day to remind ourselves about the achievements that have been made, and definitely have been achievements made and progress made. However, we also know that there is still a lot more to be done. As such, programs like ours, Girls Education South Sudan, is supporting the Ministry of Education to try and progress things further, because as DG Akumu mentioned, that we still find that the issues around girls being attacked on their way to school. We know that issues around poverty are still preventing girls from going to school. We know that learning, in fact, in school itself is, you know, in a way, not to the quality that we aspire to. So we know that some learners, including, of course, our girls, are coming out of the school system without the expected learning outcomes. So there is still more to be done.
Now, I understand during the time of COVID-19, we still have COVID-19, but when we go back to 2020 especially, we have challenges that actually face the girls' education in South Sudan. So probably, Esther, maybe tell us the role of the ministry there and some of the activities, especially when the pandemic was actually high.
Thank you. I think all of us know about COVID-19 pandemic, and when the government declared the closure of all the institutions, and education was one of the institutions that was badly affected. All the schools were closed, and the learners were at home. One of the things that we thought of was to have education on air, and the learners could listen to the radios and continue with learning, because we knew that if they were left like that, they will forget about their learning and indulge in other activities. Nevertheless, we knew that not all parts of the country could be reached by radio. So some of our partners opted to buy sound system, which we use to after recording the lessons. These lessons were taken to the counties where the children came and sat according to COVID protocol, and they continued learning. But again, most of the time girls were denied because parents thought that they were just lazy, they didn't want to work, they didn't want to do all other things that they were expected to do. They became the core people to run the family, taking care of their siblings. And in other parts, parents thought that this was an opportunity. Since there were no learning, the girls could be given away for marriage. And most of the time, boys and men found it as an opportunity to rape the girls, and made sure many girls got pregnant, and this disrupted their education. And we found out that during this period, there were a lot of issues, and even the children were not even feeling as safe to be at home, because they were already losing up from learning, and they had a lot to do, which prevented them even to look into their books. So together with our partner, we thought that it was worth to find out what was going on. And indeed, we did some study, and I think this part was really badly affected, where we only had about 2,200 schools which were assessed, and we found out that already over 4,000 girls were already pregnant. And not only that, even some boys were forced to marry. This is a culture which we needed really to look into, to see to it that girls and boys should be given an opportunity to take proper decision in order to have a fair world to live in. So these are some of the things. I think maybe guests will add more.
Yeah, sure. Okoja, you can come in now and tell us how guests was really involved in trying to help keep girls in school during the COVID-19.
Yes, absolutely. As DG Akumu mentioned, that there were additional challenges that perhaps with the closure of schools, some of the gains that we have made over the years were starting to regress, where many learners sort of thought that there was no hope because there was no clear timeline as to when the schools will reopen. So as mentioned here, some were getting married, some were getting into employment. So the desire to go back to education was reducing day by day. In that regard, so we discussed with the Ministry of Education, but also with our donors, and thought, what can we do to be able to basically reignite that desire to return to school when they reopen. So one of the things that we did is to pay the cash transfers, which is one of the key activities that we provide to address the financial barriers, even while girls were at home. And with that, we realized that, of course, yes, schools were closed, but it's not their fault. And we know that many of them would desire to return to school. So the cash transfer were provided as a kind of a marker that there is still some support and some people advocating for.
That's in the last 3 years, the cash transfer?
Yes, the cash transfer has been paid the last 3 years, yes. Mm.
And how many people, let's talk about beneficiaries for instance.
Yes, beneficiaries. Over the last 3 years since we started the second phase of the Girls' Education South Sudan, over 800,000 girls have been paid. But for this particular last year,
all the states of South Sudan,
all the states, except for areas where there's insecurity, where our teams are not able to go, even the learners, it could be dangerous for them. There might be pockets of locations where payments have not been done, but we try our best to when things improve, to see if we can go back and make those payments.
And probably, maybe let's talk a little bit more about capitation grant.
Yeah. Capitation grants. Capitation grants is a grants provided to schools to improve the learning environment. And this is one, again, another key activity that we do together with the Ministry of General Education, whereby schools are provided with funds to alleviate, again, the kind of the stress that they perhaps... in terms of running operations, but also